and welcome to the Nebraska Prep Zone Report, a podcast by the Omaha World Herald. For your listening pleasure, I'm your host, Jake Anderson. Joining me as always, World Herald prep recruiting expert specialist extraordinaire, Mike Sauter.
You know, I think the title is specialist, but that's okay. We can go with it. I'm cool with it. How's your day?
I am doing fantastic.
That's good. I'm great. I'm in a great mood.
You're just breaking ice over there.
Yeah.
We've got a loaded show today. It is week 7. We've got some games to preview. We're going to run down the playoff standings. Not finalized, not anywhere close. Lot to change. We'll recap some Nebraska football walk-ons. And let's get rolling. Class A, we have number 2 Millard West heading in 6-0 against number 7 Grand Island, also 6-0.
Yeah, huge game. I think both teams are going to be defensive. Defense is going to be the calling card and has been for both teams all year. Grand Island hasn't given up a touchdown in 3 straight games, which they've given up 0 points, actually, in 3 straight games. It doesn't matter who you play. That's hard to do.
Very impressive.
And Millard West, on the other hand, has given up at most 14 points this year, and that was to a pretty good Millard South team. So, obviously, I expect the game to be pretty, you know, a defensive battle, and both teams going to not score a ton, a lot of running the football, and a lot of defense. So, it could take a mistake or a turnover or something like that. I mean, last week against Kearney, Millard West controlled the clock all but one possession in the second half. They had it 25 or 24 minutes out of the 33 or 32 minutes in the second half.
It was a shocking start, too. Kearney went up 13-0,
right,
and Millard West just said, okay, 23 unanswered points.
Millard West just stayed the course and did what they do, and that's impressive. So their defense is really good. You know, you have Tristan Gomez, who is an excellent runner, and Sullivan's a good runner. They have a handful. I do like their pieces, and just for me, I wish they'd maybe take some shots a little bit with maybe a Caden Otterman or Dallas Beanham, because they have some speed. Yeah. And maybe that's something to open up the offense a little bit down the road, or maybe when they feel like they need to. But whatever, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, you're undefeated at this point, and your defense is playing lights out, so keep doing you. But Gavin Aiken is going to be key for Grand Island, the running back. He leads them with 405 yards rushing and 9 touchdowns. And then Carson Coy is second on the team in rushing. He's the Grand Island's quarterback, a junior, just a junior.
Replacing Cole Evans.
Yeah. Replaced Cole Evans this year. And Coy, that last name is synonymous with pole vaulting and track. So and he's a really good athlete. He's second on the team in rushing, like I said, with 264 yards. So he's a good thrower of the ball, obviously a good athlete. So you have two multi-sport, really good athletes at quarterback for both teams. And then Brock Douglas has 450 yards receiving and 7 touchdowns. He's averaging 18 yards a catch, and so that'll be interesting, too. So you have the matchup of him, and probably Dallas Beanham is going to line up with him.
That'll be a fun shadow match.
Yeah, if that happens. So we'll see. You know, I mean, Grand Island, both teams are really well coached. Grand Island gets a lot out of, you know, not a lot majority of the time. Coach Tomlin does a good job. Coach Peterson and his staff are doing great, specifically this year. They just kind of do their thing. They don't worry about what everyone else is talking about or what I'm talking about, really. but that's them, and that's fine. It's working great,
right.
And so just keep doing that. So that game, I think, is going to be huge. Obviously, it's two undefeated teams, and Millard West, if you like transitive property things, which I don't like to do very much, but
I was
if you
told
look at it,
no math.
Yeah, if you look at Grand Island beat Kearney by 1, it was the first game, it's a rivalry. It's hard to do that because, 1, it was weeks ago. 2, it's a big rivalry game.
Yeah.
And Millard West beat Kearney by more than 1, obviously. So it's just, I don't like doing that very much because every week is different and matchups can be different.
One key for Grand Island is if Caleb Frankel can slow Tristan Gomez. That'll yeah. be a game within the game to watch.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the better linebackers in the state, no question. They use him a little bit as a running back. He's tough as nails. So we'll see kind of, you know, it's that linebacker, quarterback, and specifically in an option sort of style offense.
I wonder if they'd reading have him right. spy,
yeah, maybe
just key on Gomez.
Maybe a little bit, you know, and they're running, Valencia and it has done a good job running too. I forgot to mention him earlier for Millie mm-hmm. West. So he, I mean, they have some backs and stuff that have done a nice job. Their line's big and strong and physical. Mm-hmm. So Grand Island generally doesn't have lines like that, but they're extremely well coached and tough. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice matchup. It should be yeah. fun. And there's gonna be a lot of people in Grand Island. I know it's gonna be cold. They're supposed to be cold and maybe a little, you know, little wet. With some rain/snow mix something. There's going to be a lot of people there for that game. Grand Island doesn't normally get, you know, yeah. the big games at home like that. So,
and it's always exciting this late in the season to have a matchup of two undefeated teams.
Right. It doesn't happen, right. you know, very often, if ever.
Our next game is number 6, Omaha Westside, 6-0. Against number 8 Elkhorn South, 4-2, and this is another one of those tests that we've noted for both teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, Omaha Westside coming off a bunch of good wins. 2 weeks ago, they handled Creighton Prep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then last week, I was pulling up the NSAA record book to see if they were going to break the Class A record for single game points against Omaha Northwest. Elkhorn South, they lost one of their tests against Bellevue West, but they've responded the past couple weeks.
They lost to Millard South.
Yes, and Millard Bellevue South West. As well.
Yeah.
What are you looking for in this one?
Yeah, it's if you look at it, the one loss that Westside has is to a really good Lincoln Southeast team that mm-hmm. is big, strong, physical up front. Well, that's kind of what Elkhorn South is. They have really good lines on both sides, led by Teddy Prochaska, and then you have Isaac Zadiska at center and Cooper Taylor at the other tackle. So if they can match that physicality in the line, I think they'll be fine. Bodie Harrell is a guy that never gets talked about, but he's their leading rusher at Westside. He's 465 yards. He's averaging 93 a game. You know, Grant Taggy, who's kind of started the season playing some wide out. Now he's playing defense and more safety/linebacker. He's leading the team in tackles. A guy for Westside that has come back and pretty awesome story and is Cal Weideman. I mean, yep. he's come back and come back with a vengeance. He's had two really nice games in a row as a wide receiver for Westside. And Cole Payton, their quarterback. I mean, he rushed for, what, 6 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns a couple weeks ago.
He had 6 touchdowns total, 5 rushing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's tough. So, you know, Elkhorn South's going to have to run the ball. Eli Husted had a nice year. He struggled a little bit last week. A little bit, not a lot, but a little bit last week against Millard South and their defensive front. You know, I mean, Elliott Brown completed some passes, and they caught Millard South in the seams there, but I think the safeties and the defensive backs, Avante Dickerson one, is a little better, you know, at Westside than Millard South. So we'll see if they can make those adjustments and whatnot and get a win. Elkhorn South kind of feel like they need one. They played two of the better teams or the big dogs, if you mm-hmm. will, and they've dropped them both. Now, Elkhorn South probably should have beat Millard South last week. It was really close. Millard South needed a red zone stand, if you will, late yeah. in the game to seal that game.
How much do you think it helps Elkhorn South in this one playing at home?
Not a ton. I don't think that really matters as much. Maybe a little bit, just not a ton. Yeah. I don't think. In high school, Westside's a pretty tough environment. If they can get the yeah. full student section, it's pretty crazy. But I don't think it matters that much.
All right, let's go to Class B. And Class B, again, has my game of the week. Number 1, Omaha Scott, 6-0, against number 3, Waverly, also 6-0. Another one of those undefeated matchups.
Yeah, both teams love to run the ball, which it fit. That helps Scott a lot because Scott struggled a little bit with pass defense and defending the pass. We saw that against Roncalli. They kind of struggled a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Waverly runs the ball. Runs the ball. Mm-hmm. So Mason Neiman, their quarterback, and I guess kick returner and play some safety and defensive back, I guess, Very similar to Tyson Gordon. Tyson Gordon plays quarterback, plays safety, is their kicker, is their punter, returns punts and kick. So
drives
they're both
the bus home.
Yeah, they're both pretty similar. Yes, drives the bus home, all that. He does everything. And Mason's kind of like that too for Waverly. He's the team's leading rusher as far as yards so far this year. He has 702 rushing yards and 8 touchdowns. I mean, against Norris 2 weeks ago, he was 2 of 3 for 9 yards passing, and they won the game. So yeah, they don't throw the ball at all. And he's only attempted 26 passes this year as the starting quarterback. So
yeah,
it's going to be a battle of the trenches, probably a matchup Scut likes just because of that. But, you know, it's going to be our power versus their power, and we'll see. The game will probably get over in about an hour and a half or two because it's just going to be – everyone's going to run the ball every play. There's not going to be a lot of incompletions or stopping the clock. It's not on TV, nothing like that. So you're going to want to get there right on time, and you'll get home pretty early.
Nice running clock game.
Right. And not for like point, like someone being outscored, just because the ball is going to be run the whole game.
And Scut typically, that favors them in these matchups, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. That's their strength. They typically win these. But Waverly is tough this year.
Yeah. And I mean, Trevor Brown is a lineman. He is a grown man. He is just a sophomore. He was, he's a wrestler. He is legit. Very much so. So yeah, Blake Anderson for Scut, he plays both ways. Trey Brown plays a little both ways for Waverly too. So maybe that's a matchup you see. That'd be fun to see those two go at it. So Blake Anderson's committed to Northern Iowa, and Trevor Brown obviously is just a sophomore, but he is a huge. I mean, he is really big and really good.
All right, we're gonna run down the playoff race, the wild card standings for class. I have them for class A,
sure,
B, and C1. But before we do that, I kind of wanted to give the listeners at home kind of a sense of how these are calculated.
Right.
And I also have this from the NSAA, the wild card criteria. So for class A, B, and C1, and again, these are not finalized.
Right.
But they have...
It's where it stands right now.
Yes. And they have it broken down into a first division team win, second, third, and fourth. So how it's calculated is... A first division team is one that finishes 9-0, 8-1, 7-2. Second division, 6-3, 5-4. Third division, 4-5, 3-6. And fourth division, the rest. So again, these are not finalized because a team like Millard North right now stands a little iffy if they go on a winning streak to
they have a huge game. The game tomorrow night is Papillion La Vista. In Millard North at Buell in Millard, and that game's huge for playoff implications. Millard North is trying to finish, you know, 4-5 or whatever at the end of the year here, and go on a run towards the end of the year. And Papio's 3-3 right now, so you have that's a huge wild card points matchup for both
teams.
Which
I guarantee there are some teams that are rooting for Millard North to get up. Oh
yeah,
4-5.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So the way it works is you get 50 for a victory over a first division team, 36 for a loss, and then so on and so forth, 47-33, 44-30, 41-27. So I've got top 20 teams for Class A, B, and C1. Obviously at the top for Class A, bear with us, this is a long list here. In order, Millard West, Lincoln Southeast, Bellevue West, Omaha Burke, Grand Island, Westside, Millard South, Creighton Prep, Elkhorn South, Kearney, Lincoln Southwest, Lincoln East, Elkhorn, Omaha North, Millard North, Papillion La Vista, and then your bottom four, so your 17 through 20 that are fighting to get in, Columbus, Papio South, Omaha Central, and Omaha South, 4-2. So that's how much these wild card points go into it. They have a winning record. They're the only team in that 17 through 20 with a winning record, and they're at 20th, where you have Omaha North, Millard North at 2-4. They'd be in the playoffs right now. So these points are important. Any surprises on that list for you?
Not really. I mean, you have – so here's Omaha South's meat of their schedule, if you will, is – coming up here in these next 2-3 games. You have Bellevue West, Omaha Central, and Pius. Pius just handled Omaha Central last week. So they're not – every time Pius takes the field, they're going to be tough. They're going to play hard and try and play physical. So you have to be ready for them to play, no matter what their record is. I don't care. So Central, obviously something happened there where they just kind of took it to them. So South Bellevue West, you look at that and you're like, oh, that's probably going to be a loss, right?
Yeah.
And then you South Central and Pius, is their next two? You don't know, right?
Yep.
So depth is going to be something. And Ty Griggs is a fantastic wide receiver. Can go up and get the ball for South. That had a good has had a great season, not a good season. And then John Foget is another receiver that's had a good year for them too. So we'll see if South can do it. It'd be a pretty neat story if they can get it done. It's just going to be tough with Millard North in there and Papio, and Columbus is in that tough district, really tough district with Westside, Creighton Prep, and Elkhorn South and Millard South.
Columbus almost knocked off Creighton Prep.
Right.
That one came down to the wire.
Yeah, that would have been a huge win for them.
Yep. All right, Class B, we have Scotts Bluff, Waverly, Omaha Scott, Grand Island Northwest, Hastings, Omaha Roncalli, Elkhorn Mount Michael, Norris, Bennington, McCook, Seward, Omaha Gross, Blair, Plattsmith, Lexington, York, Alliance, Crete, Beatrice, and Gehring. And that Alliance through Gehring, there's your 17 through 20.
Right.
Those are your teams fighting to get in. Might be a little bit tough for Gehring at 1-5.
Yeah, you're going to have a team with a losing record or two maybe even make the playoffs in Class B. It just is what it is due to numbers. So
right now, Plattsmith at 2-4 would be in. To your
right.
And which Plattsmith could win out.
Right. And right now, if you look at who's played who, who's lost to who, and whatnot, I mean, you have Scotts Bluff, Waverly, and Scutt are clearly, I think, the three, you know, and the top three that probably you don't want to play right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then Grand Island Northwest has had a heck of a year. And they're doing it the complete opposite of what they've done the last few years. Defense, run the ball. Yep. The last few years, they've been throwing it around, scoring a bunch of points. So props to Coach Stein and his staff. They've done had a heck of a year so far.
But that's, again, where these wild card points matter, because you see Omaha Scott, number one. Stu's had them number one all year. They're the number one team. They deserve to be. They're number three in these wild card points.
Scott hasn't lost in 17, however many games. Yeah. So until someone beats them, they deserve to be number one.
Right. And then C1, real quick here. Top 20 again in order. Pierce, Adams Central, Columbus Scotus, Wahoo, Ashland Greenwood, Ogallala, Kearney Catholic, Wahoo Newman, Gothenburg, Valentine, Ord, Aurora, Chadron, Wayne, Cozad, Mitchell, Columbus Lakeview, West Point Beamer, Lincoln Lutheran, and Boys Town. Columbus Lakeview through Boys Town. There's your bottom four, your 17 through 20.
Right.
What here stands out?
C1, really, you're everyone is expecting Wahoo and Pierce to be just collision course for Lincoln. But Ashland Greenwood, their schedule's been a little light, obviously. They're undefeated and they're, fifth in the points. They're good. Like, Bryce Kittrell is really good and does a lot of different things. He can defense, running back, kick returner, punt returner, all that. So they're pretty good. They haven't played, obviously, the best schedule, but they're tough. SCOTUS has played really well. They just beat Newman. Adams Central, undefeated. Beat Hastings, beat Aurora earlier this year, throws the ball around. Evan Johnson, quarterback, is pretty good too. You know, Newman, they play Wahoo this week.
That's a key matchup.
Very key matchup. Like, if they can get that done, like, that'd shake things up a lot.
Yes.
So that's a big game for Newman for sure.
I know we flew through all of those. They're available on NSAA, their website, and with something that we'll be keeping an eye on down the stretch. Again, those aren't finalized because a lot of these first division, second division, third can shift, which will shake up the points.
Right.
But that's, I figured, 3 weeks left in the regular season. Let's get a look at the playoffs.
Everyone's going to have the math done and whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that last regular season Friday night. There's so many projections of whoever.
And Stu is great at it.
Right.
Stu has it ready to go at 10:30 on the dot, if not before on Friday night.
So there, it's all like there's a bunch of people that do math and teachers and coaches and trying to figure it out. So it's kind of wild and fun. I just let everyone else handle that stuff. I don't worry about that. People ask me questions about it. I'm like, yep, sure.
All right, before we get out of here, we have a few recruiting notes. And a few of these happened last week, but Nebraska got a few walk-on commits that I wanted to run down. This one happened this week. Millard West defensive lineman Baylor Brannon. And then last week we also had Waverly athlete Mason Neiman. Aurora tight end Nate
Borkercher.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What do these guys kind of bring?
So Baylor Brannon, actually, he announced it on Monday, but he committed Ohio State like that weekend. So that's been, what, 2 weeks? So he finally just announced it. But he's a big lineman. He's going to play defense for them, defensive line. You put the tape on, he's kind of handling his own and can kind of get after the passer and make plays behind the line of scrimmage a little bit if you watch his huddle. That's what stands out the most. And Mason Neiman, which I said, like, he's a do-kind-of-everything athlete. So he can run the ball. He likely will be a defensive back slash safety or special teams person. Probably start with that when he gets to Nebraska. And Nate Borkercher is going to be a tight end to start and might end up kind of ballooning up, if you will, or putting weight on and being an offensive lineman, very much so like his brother did, who came. His brother started at UNK, started his career at UNK, then transferred to Nebraska as a walk-on. Started out as a tight end, and now he's offensive tackle, and they're trying to turn him into one. So,
good frame to add.
Yeah, very much so.
And then one other note here, just kind of something to keep an eye on, since he's only a sophomore. Omaha Burke linebacker Devon Jackson got an offer from Nebraska this weekend.
Right, like, I mean, that was a little surprise. It took kind of a lot of people by surprise. Didn't expect that to happen. He's 6'2", 195. He was as a freshman. He ran at state. He was the state track meet. He was the anchor leg of Omaha Burke's 4x1. So he's fast, track speed kid. 10.9 and 100 and 21.8 and a 200. So he's a big kind of kid, fit frame. You look at him, you're like, yep, kind of fits all the frame stuff. Has a little bit of a dinged up ankle. I'm not sure he's going to play this week, but he's good. I mean, he clearly, they thought he was good enough. And you just look at the frame and you're like, all right. You know, like, he can get to 220, 230. And with that speed as a linebacker, you like it. So,
And they obviously know Burke. They probably talked to coaches about
him. Yeah, and that's what happened. Yeah. He had found out a little bit. Coach Rude, the linebackers coach in Nebraska, had a couple conversations with coaches at Burke, and they said, hey, watch out for this kid. And then they said, well, send me the tape, sent the tape, and that's how it worked. He was one of the unofficial visitors or game day visitors to the Nebraska-Northwestern game this weekend, too.
Yep. All right. Well, that'll do it for this week. We'll be back next week with Week 8. Might have a special guest next week. Until next time, thanks for listening.